Welcome to the Whitaker Report podcast. I'm your host, Dean Whitaker, President and CEO of Whitaker Associates Incorporated. In this episode, we have as our guest Dennis Pruitt, Senior Vice President of Economic Development for the Greater Oklahoma City Chamber of Commerce. Dennis Pruitt leads the Chamber's business recruitment and expansion effort, economic research, industrial sector development, and destination retail initiatives. He also leads the Greater Oklahoma City Partnership, a 10-county regional economic development alliance. He has more than 30 years of experience in economic and community development. He most recently served as Vice President of Business Development for the Missouri Partnership, a statewide public-private organization focused on economic growth across urban and rural communities. Dennis is actively involved in the International Economic Development Council and previously chaired its International Committee. Please join me as we welcome Dennis Pruitt to the Whitaker Report podcast.
Dean, it's nice to see you. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Yeah. I've known you for a long time. I have a lot of respect for you and the work you do. So thank you for giving me this opportunity to be with you today.
Dennis, how did you get started in the economic development profession?
I got into economic development because I wanted to follow in my dad's footsteps. He is a civil engineer. I think the world of him, but I just didn't have the math skills that were required to be a civil engineer. I discovered urban planning and got my master's at Texas A&M in that field. And that led me into city government, which I really enjoyed much more than I thought I would. I was always thinking internationally, but local government was a lot of fun. And I did that for about 6 years. And then a position came open when I was in Montgomery County in Southeast Kansas. I was working for the City of Independence, Kansas, and there was an opening for the director of Montgomery County Action Council, which was a public-private economic development organization. I joined that organization. I led that for 8 years. And then I went over to Missouri to work for the newly formed Missouri Partnership. Was doing that for, or did that for 17 years, and now I'm here in Oklahoma City.
Well, that's quite a history of opportunities and geography that you've transitioned, but it sounds like pretty much Midwest. Is that fair to say?
That's fair. You know, along the lines with in my educational career as well, I picked up Arkansas and Texas. So I've gone all around Oklahoma from Missouri, Kansas, Arkansas, Texas. So it was inevitable that I would come to Oklahoma.
Well, that's very interesting because you've been there now all of what, about a month, correct?
A little more, I think 34 days. Yes.
Not that you're counting, but it's 34 days, 6 hours and 27 minutes.
That's right. Yeah.
What has it been like for you to start this new position? That must be pretty exciting on one hand and kind of disconcerting, maybe on the other. It wouldn't be for me anyway. What's it been like for you?
It has been extremely positive. I can't say enough nice things about my current job. And hopefully we'll get back to my last job. But I'm lucky, Dean, in that I left one great company, Missouri Partnership, and one great boss, Subhash Alias, for another great organization, Greater Oklahoma City Chamber of Commerce, and another great boss, Christy Gillenwater. So from an emotional standpoint, it's been very positive knowing that I'm working for two, have worked for a great person, working for a great person. The physical demands are actually quite high. In this role, a lot of evening meetings, a lot of weekend meetings. There are things, I mean, we're always busy at Missouri Partnership on trade shows and events. It seems like the demands for your time are, of course, as you move up in an organization, they're higher. There are times where I don't even get to my desk until the end of the day, and then I still have to go through those emails from the day. So that the physical demands of time management and being able to to frequently be on call and be expected to do things, which is great. I enjoy that. It just is demanding. I think, fortunately I haven't gotten sick or anything like that, but there's just a lot of physical requirements that you wouldn't think of. But from an intellectual side, I really find it fascinating and invigorating that, I've told people that I'm not just starting a new chapter, I'm starting a new book. And that new
Ah.
book requires a lot of learning. And it's just, you have to be patient with this type of development and challenges on the intellectual side where you don't know everything. It's very humiliating to know, okay, well, I knew this person in my last role who would be the equivalent, and that person's not the same one anymore. So, but it's refreshing. I really find it to be a challenge. An intellectual challenge that I am thoroughly enjoying.
That's very cool. Let's go back to your last job. One of the things you'd indicated was you felt like you left it in good stead, meaning that you left one good position to go to another good position. What was your last position like, and how did that feel as you left it?
I was there for 17 years, and I've gone through,
Long
yeah,
time.
that's a long time. I mean, for a guy who's been in the field this long to only have had three jobs is pretty rare. So, 8 years at Montgomery County Action Council, 17 at Missouri Partnership, and now 1 month at Oklahoma City Chamber. But, I've developed a lot of great friends at the Missouri Partnership, and we had, great leaders like Chris Chung, who's now at North Carolina. We had Steve Johnson, great leader, great strategic thinker. He's now retired. And then Subhash Alias, very personable, very knowledgeable person when it comes to economic development. All three of them are great economic developers. And it was hard to leave what there was no pressure for me to leave the job. It was all on my own, wanting to do more with my life and wanting to manage people, to have my own team, to try new things. And we'll get into that. The jobs are totally different. Missouri Partnership is focused on business attraction. This role has much more broader requirements and opportunities. But it was hard to leave Missouri Partnership when you have that many years of friendship and contacts, and there's just a whole comfort level, a security blanket almost, Dean, of people, you know how to get things done, and now you're starting off in a new role.
And then, in order to help others with the same concept of changing positions, what kind of advice would you give to someone starting a new position, and what would you suggest to them they do?
I didn't think about it too hard when I was leaving because I was tr really trying to focus on getting any empty ta open task completed. But a couple of things that I learned as I was leaving that I thought would be helpful maybe to other people is the importance of leaving on a good note. That clean break, that clean exit is so important. And I'll tell you about some of the things that they did for me as I was leaving. But leaving on a good note just kind of propels you into the next job. It gives you a momentum. And I only took a week off in between the two jobs, but they threw a nice party for me. A lot of people came in. The board said nice things. The team did nice things. You work with somebody that long, you become friends. You're not just colleagues. And so, but for them to let me know they appreciated my work and that they would miss me, but having that big party was really nice. And I wasn't really pushing for that party. I kind of just said, let's just close this out and go on. But Subhash insisted on it, saying, "No, Dennis, I think you'd really enjoy this." And he was right. We need to have, it's like graduating. If you just get the diploma and don't go through the walking ceremony, it doesn't have that impact, that ability to help you shut the door and to celebrate that moment. And I think it's important. I'm glad that I listened to Subhash and accepted the party rather than just, quietly going away, because it was just nice to interact with my friends from other organizations and my colleagues and just really close the door in a positive way, which gave me momentum into the next job. Thought that was helpful.
I'd also say, from their point of view for a moment, they needed to say goodbye to you too. So it isn't just about you leaving, it's about them being able to have that opportunity to say goodbye.
That's right. We're making it sound like a funeral, but it wasn't a funeral. But you're right. There is in significant events of our lives, there needs to be some level of structure and a time to reflect, a time to appreciate, a time to celebrate. And this was a career transition for me was, okay, I'm changing jobs, but really it's more than that. I'm changing identity. I'm changing state. I mean, there's a lot of changes involved with this, but taking the time to really appreciate the moment of when you shut one door and open another door is important. And we see that in every stage of life, every a graduation, a wedding, a funeral. A job is not a job change is not commonly thought like that, but it is a very significant life event, and it helps to celebrate the past, and then that leads to a smoother beginning in the new job. At least it did for my case.
I could understand how that happened. How did you prepare yourself for this transition? You'd mentioned you'd read a few books on how to make that transition. How did that help you?
Yeah, look, there are a lot of resources out there, amazingly. I mean, there's a podcast for everything. I think the key message here is humility and be humility and patience. I would say that those would be the two that I would really lead with is how can you learn from other people? One, and then how do you know your own limits? Two, and three, how do you better prepare to keep your eyes open? And I was really trying to stress in my own mind, being careful how I use nouns and pronouns. For example, we versus they, it's easy to keep those pronouns. I often think of Missouri Partnership as we still, even though they're now they. I mean, and so being careful in your speech was one tip I learned in those books. But there's several great books out there. One was on You're in Charge, Now What? I thought that was a really good book, especially the chapter that gets into the questions that you want to ask the team. Like, for example, what would you like to see me do? What are you afraid I'm going to do? And what are you afraid I'm not going to do? So those are questions
Great
they're
question.
great questions, and I think that book is really good on helping you identify important questions to ask your new team members. Another book I liked, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it's something about coaching, and I'll send you the link afterwards. But his point was, it's important to ask questions, but it's important to ask the right questions in the right way. I mean, all this sounds like common sense, but when you're out of that practice and when you're going into a new job, it's easy to find, it's easy to overlook this good advice. And the coaching questions were like, how to encourage them to develop their own skills without you defaulting to the fixer mode, and trying to coach people on how to ask questions of the client, ask questions of themselves, and refraining from jumping in and trying to fix everything. Because while you think you're fixing things, you're probably making it worse. And so the realization that you don't have to fix everything, but ask better questions so your team member comes up with those solutions. And I thought that was an insightful book. And I really also like in The Economist, Bartleby, in the business section. It's a very short paragraph or column, I should say. And I think that feature of The Economist is one that I go to first every time I get the printed magazine. And then he's had his own podcast as well. But it's all practical advice. And I would sum it up this way. Don't take yourself too seriously is the way I would summarize his big theme is, you're yes, you might be the manager, you might be the boss, but you wouldn't be where you were without great people, and you need to treat them kindly. But it's a fun read. I think I laugh at every time I read his column.
Very cool. What precipitated this move? You'd indicated that you'd been very happy in your position, so it wasn't like you were wanting to leave to go for any particular reason. But what precipitated your decision to make this move?
There wasn't any one event that triggered the decision. It was the realization that I wanted to do more with my life, and I wanted to be, I wanted to have more responsibilities. Missouri Partnership is a great organization, but it's a very flat organization, and you're not gonna, unless you become the CEO, there was not a pathway for me to be promoted. And it was okay. I mean, I liked what I did, but I knew there was something missing in my life professionally. And I pay attention to the people around me, the partners that we interact with. And I noticed that I was missing some of that regional development. I really liked working with, just for example, Tim Cowden at Kansas City Area Development Council. The work they did at the regional level, very impressive. And I realized when I went on a site visit to a community and got to interact like Columbia, Missouri, Ready, just being involved at that local level more. When you're at the state level, it's kind of ambiguous on where you see your results. I mean, I could do a project in Joplin, Missouri, but not see that project ever again unless I made it down there to that community for a special reason. And so really getting to interact more at the local level was important to me, given my background in city planning and running a public-private county organization. I did miss that local involvement. And the other thing about, I guess if there was, really using that community planning, community development, local politics, and then this new job has a lot of different roles for me than in my last job, which was business attraction for Missouri. This one includes a business retention and expansion component. It has a destination retail attraction component. I have a film tax credit that I'm responsible for ultimately. There's a bioscience initiative that I'm managing as well. And all that is on top of the business attraction for the region. And it's a 10 county region. It is the greater Oklahoma City region, which while Oklahoma City is the biggest city and Oklahoma County is the biggest county by both population, there are nine other counties that we're trying to develop. And so it was the opportunity to get more involved regionally and also to broaden my day-to-day activities in a way that were intellectually challenging or more challenging than they had been for me for a while.
Interesting. And then in terms of new opportunities, what do you see coming up down the road in terms of the future of economic development? What kind of things do you see coming at the profession, and therefore at all of the people that are engaged in that economic development work?
Well, I don't know if I can say it's the future or if it's today or if it's just my perspective, but certain themes have come up on a number of different occasions. And I, as I prepared for the interview process, I, was trying to think through some of these. And so maybe they will resonate with your listeners, but a big theme for me is being authentic as an economic development organization. And, let's, I don't want to pick on any state, but I can pick on another country where I would pick up FDI, the magazine FDI, and you could look at any country that they'd focused, and their ad would be the same thing as what you would find in a state. We got a great location, we got a great workforce, we got a great quality of life, and these are our targeted sectors. And maybe they do. Maybe for whatever reason those are the maybe they are speaking the truth. But how do we really define what makes us authentic, and where do we need to be playing in the field, and where do we not need to be? Where should we be sitting on the bench? And so getting back into that deeper message that is sophisticated beyond, live, work, play, but what makes sense, and where should we do, what activities should we pursue, and what would our calendar look like if we were really honest about our capabilities, and what projects should we be pursuing, what leads should we be pursuing given our in-depth knowledge of our region? And so authenticity in economic development, in our messaging, in our calendar planning, in our activities would be one. This is not new to me, but would be quality of place. I know that Jay Gardner really talks about that a lot in one of his themes. And I would say that, Oklahoma City has been doing this for a long time with their MAPS program, where they have really, and they took it to the voters. This is like, I think they're on round four or five of MAPS programs where they've gone and they have identified public infrastructure and improvements that need to take place in the community for us to position ourselves for wins. And so I would say that Oklahoma City has been on this theme for a long time and they understand quality of place. They've made improvements to, they developed that Bricktown region. They've done a lot of stadium work, but they're also moving into the softer side, like training and education. And, how do we make sure that we're not just building things that are, hardware, but also the software that would be involved in transportation, or maybe it's education that needs to take place. So I would commend Oklahoma City on that forward thinking on quality of place. Other trends are going to be, electricity demand, power demand. And again, this is nothing new, Dean, to your listeners. How do we work closely with the utility companies? Now, what I would say that's an advantage in Oklahoma and maybe some other states in the Southwest would be the natural gas component. And as we see increased pressure on the electric grid, is there a way to use natural gas in a way to generate power directly as opposed to off-grid? So that's an opportunity that we have with, combined cycle gas. Geothermal, excuse me, also is an untapped potential in Oklahoma, where I think, as we look at increased power, how do we become more creative in finding sources of electricity or power? I guess I refrain to use, I shouldn't use the word electricity, but power, because it could come in different formats. But, natural gas, geothermal, however that is to support the grid, because the demand on the grid is just exponential with the, crypto and data centers, and now with AI data centers, that's going to be a big push. I think the fourth thing that I've noticed would be the land, that, where do we have the land? Which was one of the themes that came up in the interview, is how do you work within a 10 county region? And we talked about getting out there and identifying sites. And for me, I think we're doing a disservice to some of our communities where we say that if you don't have a mega site, you might as well just go home. That's not the case. I mean, we need a variety. We need a diversity of real estate solutions. And that's not just a mega site. Mega sites are important. Rail serve sites are important. But if we don't have that, we still can compete on other things. And so how do we get with our regional partners? And if it's a 15-acre site, that's great. I'm going to work with you. If it's 100 acres, that's great. I'm going to work with you. But how do we catalog these? How do we get out there in advance and start planning? So probably incorporating planning, Dean, and long-term visioning when it comes to preparing for industrial parks would be the fourth theme.
Very interesting. And maybe you can wrap up with these questions, but what are the if you had to pick three challenges that you're working on, what are the three things that you'd like to tackle first?
Well, that's the big tension, is the there you want to run before you can walk. As you go into a new job, everything takes more time than you think it would. The onboarding process of, getting your credit card, getting your laptop, getting the electronic pass to get into the building, finding your way around the building. I mean, it all just took much longer than I thought. And you have to really be patient on the onboarding. So one of the challenges is, and that's not critical of our team. That's just a fact of life, is when you move over, a challenge for a new role is what was so simple and routine at your previous role, because you've been doing it for 17 years or 10 years or whatever it might be. You're going into a new system. There's translation. There are just adjustments that need to be made. And so having that patience with the transition is a challenge. And So making sure that you're moving at an appropriate speed, and you want to get, I mean, I want to get out there and be, let's go on a business development trip. Let's go promote this property, this great acreage that we have. We have some wonderful industrial parks. Let's go out there and do this. But I also need to take that time. So appropriate speed would be meeting the right people, meeting with the city leadership, meeting with our regional partners, meeting with the officials at the universities and the training programs and the technical schools. So getting that speed. So managing your own speed is probably the top challenge, I think, when a new role is wanting to dive in right away, where you think you see a problem or think you see an opportunity. And maybe it is. It probably is a great opportunity, but it just takes time, and you got to do as Aristotle said, you got to do the right thing in the right way. And that's a challenge on that front. Fortunately, I got a great team. So I've been lucky that there's been no need for disciplinary action or, hiring or firing somebody. But that could be a problem for a new person coming on. Just working through the team. One of the pieces of advice I got from, I called a lot of people before I took the job, and again, back to Tim Cowden, I mentioned it earlier. He said, "Dennis, the number one thing is the team, and never lose sight of the team." And I was thinking about that. There are 15 people on my team, and I'd rather have their respect than all of the population of Oklahoma City. So you gotta work slowly, and you got to build up that team as much as you can. And they don't know you. It doesn't matter if you know economic development. It doesn't matter how many years you had another location. They don't know you, and so there's a fear on their side. And it just makes every change brings challenges and opportunities and uncertainty. And so you can't take it personal when they express concern about something because they just don't know you. And that just takes time. Again, it gets back to patience and humility, being willing to listen, pivot when you're wrong, and be, I think that the other important thing would be willing to be surprised. Don't go in. I mean, yes, have some ideas and some thoughts on what you've done in preparing for the job, but don't go in with a fixed agenda. Have a surprise mentality. Be willing to learn something new, and let the opportunities arise organically, not trying to force them. So that would be a challenge. And the other one would be just getting the vocabulary. I study languages, and it's like, okay, there are grammar rules, but there's also vocabulary. And so in a leadership team meeting or in a staff meeting, names will be thrown out there, like, "I don't know this," or they'll throw out an acronym. It's not appropriate to stop the meeting and always be trying to get this information. So I keep a little notebook, and I write down the names or people or whatever has come up, and then I'll go home or back to my office and look them up on the internet. And so I've created an Excel document that I call my chart of ignorance, and I've got different tabs. I got a tab for association. So those would be like, regional partners, community college programs, et cetera. So the nonprofit tab. I have a company tab. So companies that are referenced in a conversation that I don't know here in Oklahoma City, but I need to know. People, that's self-explanatory. Issues. So what are some of the important issues that we're dealing with as a team or as a community? And writing those down and trying to dive in and figure out what the answers are. And then the last one would be geography. All these cities that are referenced and trying to map this out. But really the tabs I use the most are, well, the tab I use the most is associations. And that would be all the names, the acronyms for the programs, the incentive programs, the training programs, the different community colleges, and trying to figure out who's leading those. So I maintain like I said, this Excel document that keeps me, trying to always learn without disrupting the flow of a conversation.
You're doing an amazing job. And I so want to thank you for all that you've shared with us and our listeners today, because I think all the information you provided is spot on to helping somebody out starting out a new job just like you did. So I'm
Yes.
so grateful for you to take the time and share your experience on being 34
Do I have
days into
time for
your
one more
new
point?
job. You do.
Do I have time for what, so one more point real quick, and this is something that I came up with. We've all heard the cliche, don't burn your bridges. And I took that to a different level. I think Subhash would verify this, that my thought was not only don't burn bridges, but fix the potholes on the bridge as you're leaving. And let me just give you a specific example. We do an event in Missouri, or they, excuse me, see there, I did, I messed it up already. Missouri Partnership does an event every April. My last day was March 14th, but the event was coming up in April 17th. And so I asked Subhash, I said, look, I know you got this program coming up. You want me to send out the invitations for it because I've led this event for the last 16 years. I can do this for you very easily. That's an example of trying to fix the potholes on the way out. And so don't just focus on avoiding burning down a bridge, but how can you fix that bridge as you're leaving? And it just gives you, I left with a very clean conscience when I left Missouri Partnership, and because I tried my best to fix things that either one, a mess I created, two, a task I didn't get done. So I would just encourage people to really try hard as they leave to do the best they can rather than just say, oh, that's not my problem. It's not on my notebook to do anymore because it's somebody else's problem. But yes, it is your problem that you didn't get it fixed the first time, or try to help as you leave. That would be my advice. Fix the potholes on the bridge.
That's a great way to sum up our this conversation this time, because I suspect we're going to come back around and talk with you again, maybe a little further down the road, and get a different perspective of where you are after you've been there for a while. But Dennis, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time today. I know this is an imposition relative to all the things that are on your plate as you try to go through this process of learning your new position and making the best use of your time. So again, thank you so much, and I look forward to talking to you in the near future.
Thanks, Dean. It's a real pleasure. I'm very happy to be here. I had a great run at Missouri Partnership, and I'm looking forward to this new role. Thank you.